the data itself can be really beneficial for a lot of different things. So the producer, of course, can use it to keep an eye on what their pigs are doing, tell if something is off, make some adjustments, maybe even predict what's going to happen so they can get ahead of things. But when you think about this data, it's really rich, especially if we are collecting from a lot of individual animals over their life cycle. So you could think maybe, does a veterinarian have any need for this data in terms of modifying or tweaking their healthcare recommendations that could be more precise, save the producer money? Could a certifier want this data as evidence that the producer has been complying with their standards the whole time? Could a consumer want transparency to improve their trust in the process? And so if people have other uses for that data, should they bear some of that cost that the producer is facing when providing them with that information that they want?
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Summer challenges finish your pig performance. Digestrum Finish can help. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/finish. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Swine It Podcast. I'm Tara Donovan, your host, and today I have Dr. Janice Siegfried as my guest. Dr. Siegfried is a professor and associate chair in the Department of Animal Science at Michigan State University. Her training in animal welfare, neuroscience, and zoology helps her tackle questions about the behavior and welfare of pigs from a variety of angles. Welcome to the Swine It Podcast Show, Dr. Siegfried.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. So today we'll be talking with Dr. Siegfried about precision livestock farming, specifically the needs of off-farm swine industry stakeholders for data derived from precision livestock farming technology. So Janice currently leads a team of animal scientists, veterinarians, and social scientists, extension agents, and economists to understand how pork producers, veterinarians, and consumers feel about technology on swine farms and how much they're willing to pay for those technologies that improve pig care, welfare, health, and productivity. But before we get started and dig into that discussion, Janice, will you tell us about your background a little bit more and your current position at Michigan State?
Yeah, I started life as a military brat, really. So wasn't raised on a farm, but my mother's parents lived back in Montana and were kind of like small ranchers. And then my uncle has had a very long industry in animal ag with a lot of sheep, a lot of cattle. And he was my hero growing up. He, to me, was kind of a John Wayne kind of figure. And I watched what he did with his horses, with his dogs, with his cattle, with his sheep. And I was like, I want to do something related to animal behavior when I get big. And so I kind of started pursuing this career thinking I wanted to get into why animals did what they did. And I started off, though, by thinking that I really wanted to share science with people. So my first degree is actually in journalism. And I found that really interesting, but not as satisfying as I wanted it to be. I really wanted to do my own science. So I started down this journey of looking at animal behavior from the outside with my zoology degree, then from the inside with my neuroscience degree. And then I landed at MSU, where I worked with a professor looking at the behavior and welfare of pigs. And at the time, he was really focused on early weaning and whether it changed their ability to cope with stress or their cognition or their emotion. And really, I've been here ever since, and I've been with pigs ever since. And they're just fascinating to me. I find them a really interesting species to work with, capable of great curiosity and inquisitiveness, and also sometimes destruction when left to their own devices. So they keep me busy. They keep me entertained.
Cargill Animal Nutrition and Health Pork Solutions is a locally focused global animal nutrition company that offers a proven range of customized nutrition, health, and business solutions you can trust to build more profitable systems with confidence and peace of mind. Our research-backed and data-driven approach is our foundation. Learning your goals and business challenges is the top priority for our people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree that definitely a diverse background, different from a lot of our guests. So I'm excited to hear your perspective on this kind of, you know, new and upcoming area, right, in swine and swine production. Thank you for sharing your story with us. So let's dive into our discussion. So we'll get right at it. So precision livestock farming, why is exploring other uses of that data important to the conversation about putting this technology on the farm?
Partly because the technology itself is expensive, right? And in a lot of cases, we expect producers to kind of do the changes that happen on farm, no matter what it is, right? Whether we're switching from gestation stalls to pens, whether we're modifying how farrowing crates should be, we expect producers to bear that cost. But for technology, it's expensive to put in. They might have to, you know, retrofit to have more Wi-Fi capability or more internet, as well as protecting sensitive equipment from things like power washing, probably keeping up to date with that in terms of upgrades and maintenance. So there's not just a one-time installation cost for this stuff like there might be for a stall, but there's also kind of ongoing maybe subscriptions to manage the software or update it. There might be ongoing needs to replace equipment because the farm environment is harsh. I mean, you're going to need specialized people to install it as well, because a lot of it is, you know, kind of high-end tech, right? And then thinking again about how we protect it from the environment. So there's a lot of cost to it. And the data itself can be really beneficial for a lot of different things. So the producer, of course, can use it to keep an eye on what their pigs are doing, tell if something is off, make some adjustments, maybe even predict what's going to happen so they can get ahead of things. But when you think about this data, it's really rich, especially if we are collecting from a lot of individual animals over their life cycle. So you could think, maybe does a veterinarian have any need for this data in terms of modifying or tweaking their healthcare recommendations that could be more precise, save the producer money? Could a certifier want this data as evidence that the producer has been complying with their standards the whole time? Could a consumer want transparency to improve their trust in the process? And so if people have other uses for that data, should they bear some of that cost that the producer is facing when providing them with that information that they want?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. It does tend to, you know, on a producer aspect, think about, you know, well, this is a big cost. How can I afford this? And, you know, we're in a commodity market, right? So it's not like we have profitable years every year. There's a lot of management to that and profitability in cash, right?
Yeah.
So let's dig into how would this data that a producer has be protected, or, you know, who would own it? And let's talk about kind of the security of that data.
That's really critical, right? Because it is also becoming almost another aspect of the commodity that the producer is selling, maybe, right? So first of all, right, you've got this data. Some of it might be coming from video, which not only could capture pigs, but potentially workers in the barn. And so how do you make sure that those images don't go where they're not supposed to, that they're not shared in ways they're not supposed to after they leave the farm? Should they even leave the farm, right? And there are actually a few different ways we can do this. We can have some of the equipment process everything on the farm. So what leaves is not an image, but just some important characteristics of the data. Right? So we can maybe protect that image sharing by stopping where it actually goes. And that actually is good in a couple of other ways too, because if you do some of that processing locally, you don't need as much internet to get it maybe to the next step of processing if it's being processed centrally, right? So I know, because the images are often a big one that people voice concerns over, right? That one has a lot of information there, and definitely we've seen images being misused or abused in different cases, right? Of course, we don't want bad things to happen on farm, but we like to be able to take care of those problems and do so in a way that's actually productive and protective rather than destructive. So that could be something that happens. And then, of course, thinking about trusting who you're working with on that tech side, what's their reputation for data security? What kinds of protocols do they have in place to make sure that only intended users can get into the system and see the data or have access to downloads, both on their end and on the farmer end, right? and at any steps in between. So you really want to make sure that you've kind of got an idea of who they are, what their reputation is like, whether they're asking you about key things, like whether you have backups or two-factor authentication, those kinds of different things that are going to make sure that your data is just not floating out there for everybody, right? And then, of course, who owns the data is a big question. So some companies almost have a built-in policy where the producer owns the data, the company has the processing part of it, and so they might own maybe the information that comes out, but the raw data itself might be the producer's. In other cases, it might be an entirely different model where everything goes to the company, but the producer has unlimited access to whatever they want. So there's a range of different ways that's structured right now. There's not really a universal standard. And I do think producers should ask really critical questions about that, right? Like, who owns what? And if you own parts of this, the tech company, what else are you going to do with this, right? Do I have any rights over how it's shared or distributed or things like that? Because I do think it's something that producers should make a bid to control and to get value from too, right? You know, we see lots of markets for compost or for waste as fertilizer for the products, of course, of the pigs themselves, but why not the data too?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think it's important to think about maybe different structures, you know, it really depends upon the situation, I'm sure, and perhaps the market that producer is selling their pigs into or continuing to own their pigs through the processing chain. So lots of different options. So what about the paying for this technology? What are some ideas or thoughts or things that you've come across in having other people, you know, whether it's the scientists and the companies that want to use the data and all the way to the consumer? What do you see there as options?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, one of the things actually we're collecting right now is data from consumers saying, what are you willing to pay for pork products that come from pigs raised on farm with this technology that is designed to, you know, precisely manage them to optimize their health and welfare, right? So we really want to get this kind of concrete look at whether they see it as something they'd pay a premium for, because we do want to know like what room there might be within that product space to change things a little bit. You know, certainly in some of the other niche markets like organic or pasture raised or things like that, there have been premiums put on stuff, but then of course there's smaller market shares. So if this was to translate into the general supply of bacon, what would happen, right? So we want to have some hard data to kind of look at those things, certainly from the consumer perspective, but we've also asked the producers themselves, what would this be worth to you to have on farm? What could you absorb? And then we're going to take some of those numbers together, plus current market prices and feed costs and all of those different things, and try and come up with a bit of a cost-benefit analysis so that even before we talk about maybe who's paying for it, we can talk about what the producers in the market can bear, right, in terms of some of that. But on part of it, we also have to think about whether some of this technology that might collect maybe health data, right, for disease surveillance, is that going to be something that's regulated or mandated by the government at some point to say, we want this data to be on your farm or this tech on your farm because we don't want a PRRS outbreak, right? Or something like that, or an African swine fever epidemic to break. So in that case, if the government mandates it, right, often now we've kind of taken away the premium part of it, and then that does become something that both the producer and then maybe the packer and the retailer have to figure out how are they going to absorb that. So in some sense, it might depend, like you said before, on what kind of data we're talking about, who's deciding that this data is important, and then, you know, where it might fit into that broader marketplace. So yeah, there could be, though, you know, maybe certain retailers who want transparency are going to say, you know, we want this in order to give you a contract, but here's the rate that we'll give you for the products that come out of this as a result. But I do think that there should be these conversations ahead of time and really explicitly with kind of these thoughts from the producer about what makes sense from their end. because we do, we see the stuff passed down all the time. And at a certain point, there's going to be only so much they can take, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about the consumers and the public again. So do you think they'll react negatively to this type of technology, to animals being managed with more technology and potentially fewer humans?
I think that that is a point that could be a problem, especially if they see or make connections in their own heads about the fact that this might mean bigger farms, even more kind of mechanization, and you know, getting to that factory word that is such a troublesome word to hear. So I think that what has to be done is to think proactively about why are we using this technology? And if it's for the pig's good, how do we talk about that story, right? If what we want to do is use this tech so that we can get ahead of pigs getting sick or treat them more effectively if they are, or catch pigs who might be growing more slowly and do something with them to help them out. Or to work with sows as they're giving birth to make sure that we don't have piglet crushing, right? If we can do have technologies that help there. So where there are, I would say, pro-pig aspects of the technology, I think those need to be a really clear part of the story that gets told. You know, of course, the economic bottom line has got to make sense for the producer, but that's not what the consumer wants to hear. they want to know, right, that the producers are still, even with this technology helping them, being responsible and ethical and pig forward caretakers. And so I think making that a really big part of the story is really necessary in order to take charge of the narrative, make sure that that's part of what we share as we think about this adoption going forward.
Yeah, when you were talking about that, I was thinking about, you know, all of the watches and the rings that, you know, humans are using to, you know, monitor things that, you know, in our everyday lives, like sleep and eating habits and movement and et cetera. And so maybe that's a way to, you know, share that story that this is the same kind of technology that we're using for ourselves to make sure that we understand the health and behavior of the pigs. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, if we get to the point, or even if we have a data on a pen of pigs and we know that these 20 pigs are doing these things and we know what the high pig and the low pig are doing and kind of have a sense of them as individuals in that population, then, yeah, we can tell the story that we're using this tech to help us recognize their individuality and care for it the same way that we're using this technology for ourselves to say, I'm this kind of sleeper, I'm this kind of person who needs to be nudged to exercise, whatever, right? You know, because of course the reality on farm is we don't have enough people to keep track of all the pigs as individuals, right? Labor is expensive. Sometimes it's hard to keep a steady supply on the farm. The cost-benefit ratio doesn't work out to have a lot of caretakers per pig. But if the technology can help us bridge that divide of losing track of them as individuals, I think that's a really great story, right? To say that we do care about them. And this is a way we can get back to more of that care that we may have lost as we got big.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I was thinking also, you know, the other important part about pig farming is sustainability and, you know, impact on the environment. And I think some of this data that we use or could be used in that area also with the right narrative, with the right story that, you know, yes, we do have to use, you know, resources to feed the pigs, but we also are able to put back onto, you know, the land, the fertilizer and it's this, you know, this cycle of nature, right? So I think that also could be used where I don't see it necessarily used yet, but I know there's people working in that space.
And the precision feeding of pigs could also help too, right? If we think that, you know, each pig, even if they're really similar genetically and managed in a very similar barn, they still have some individual physiology. And so if we tailor, this pig maybe needs a slightly different nutrient profile than this pig. Then maybe we can get better at what nutrients go in so we have less waste coming out in the nutrient stream too. So that can also be a positive, which may also make it a little less expensive on the producer side. And feed is such a massive cost, right? So anything we can do to reduce waste for them is less wasted input. and then less going into the environment on the outside that we have to manage. The same could be true for antibiotics, right? If we want to treat sick animals because we don't want them to suffer, but we want to do so in a responsible way. And if we can pinpoint, that's the sick pig right there. That's the one that needs the treatment, and the system can help us do that in an efficient way. Then we can still be good for them as individuals, but not necessarily having to do things in a way that might raise concerns with overuse, right? So I think there's a lot of positives from that downstream environmental side that could happen as a result, for sure.
Yeah, I think so too. So Janice, tell me about kind of the coolest thing or a technology that you've seen adapted or that you see on the way in this space that you're really excited about.
Some of the ones I like, I will say that these are like very, very much at the very R&D, like not ready for scaling up big yet at all, have to do a little bit with actually giving the pigs some control in their environment. So pigs already can control water, right? Because they can drink when they're thirsty and then, you know, just use the nipple, and that's something they control. The feeders typically respond to them by refilling after they eat, unless they're a sow that's being carefully managed. But temperature might be something that, like sows and piglets, they have very different needs for a thermal climate, right? She's going to get hot much faster. The piglets are at risk of getting cold. So can the piglets maybe turn on a heater when they need a little extra in their corner of the farrowing crate? Or can the sow flip a switch that gives her a fan if she's overheating? So there are some technologies out there that might let them do a little bit of regulation. We often know what's happening in the barn as a whole, or maybe even a little closer to the pen, but those microclimates still might not be perfect for them. So if they can manage that a little bit themselves, that could be a pretty interesting piece too, that also improves their welfare by letting them quickly and respond to their physiological needs for something like that. So I think those kinds of things could be pretty interesting. You know, how exactly we scale them up, that's a question for the engineers for sure. But to me as a behavior person, I'm like, ooh, I like that.
Yeah, really interesting, because, you know, let's say in a farrowing house, for instance, that different areas of the barn are more drafty, or, you know, we try to control the temperature in the whole room, right, with the sophisticated controller, but that's for the whole room and not for, like you said, the microclimate. So, and instead of having a person adjust the heat source and identify that these pigs are chilled, if they are able to do that themselves, it really gives them that opportunity, but also takes the onus away from the caretaker that, you know, sometimes it's hard to get everything done in the day, right?
Oh, for sure, right? And things could happen in between when the caretaker's walking around and checking on things, you know, as the temperatures heat up in the afternoon or cool down at night. So yeah, there could be some cool potential there. And there might also be potential for kind of different kinds of enrichment for the pigs that they can control a little bit too in those same kinds of ways. I saw this really crazy one in the Netherlands. Again, it was very R&D, but they had like a wall of the pen barn that had a light that moved on it that the pigs could go up and touch. This one was actually kind of interesting because on the other end, there was a human playing the video game. And so these like just members of the public could log into this thing and move the dot. And then the pig could respond on the other dot end. And it was almost like a two-player game, but between a pig and somebody out in the world. So who knows? That could also be an interesting connection between consumers and the farm, which, you know, sometimes we feel the lack of their connectedness, you know, to the animals whose products they eat. And sometimes that naivety gets us all in trouble a bit. So that could be interesting possibilities, I think.
Yeah, really great example. Thanks for sharing that vision with us. I always think it's fun to think, you know, down the road at what could happen, what could be something we do. So today we've been learning from Dr. Janice Sigford, a professor and associate chair in the Department of Animal Science at Michigan State University. We've been discussing additional areas beyond the farm that could benefit from the data derived from precision livestock farming technologies. Janice, do you have any final thoughts or take-homes for our listeners based on our conversation today?
I guess one thing I would just say is, you know, it can sometimes be hard to think beyond the immediate, right? Because we're often faced with a lot of things that we have to, fires that we have to put out, right? But this is something I think where if we're kind of thinking, throwing the doors open, thinking bigger picture, thinking alternative models of, you know, could I use the data this way, or could somebody else want to buy the data for this reason? And just brainstorm, you know, if you're a producer and you're thinking about putting some tech on the farm, try to think really, I think, concretely about what you are trying to solve on the farm by putting the tech there. So what's your need? But then beyond yourself and what you hope to gain from this, are there other ways you could spin it to maybe get yourself a twofer and not only meet your need, but maybe it'll be extra revenue or maybe reduce it a cost in a different direction, something like that. So that's kind of what I would encourage. And at this point, there's so much flexibility, I feel like, in the tech space with products coming and going, that in some ways, there's a lot of freedom to that, but it can be overwhelming. So by kind of tailoring what you want based on what you need first, that can help narrow down the confusion, I think.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. And, you know, the producer will likely want, you know, performance data, production data, but then asking, you know, encouraging them to ask your stakeholders, you know, ask what could they use this data for, or what additional data might be beneficial to them? And like you said, then maybe there's some cost sharing that could happen.
Yeah.
It's time for our famous three.
A worldwide leader in animal nutrition, Adiseo's portfolio of products includes Nephironine, the full range of vitamins, enzymes, organic selenium, probiotics, mycotoxin management strategies, and palatability products. With such a diverse offering, Adiseo supports its customers with a broad range of expertise, tools, and services to help them maintain a competitive advantage. Adiseo, fueling predictable profits. To learn more, visit Adiseo at www.adiseo.com.
Very good. Well, we're rounding out our time together today. I want to say thank you to our listeners. And if you have questions or comments, send those through your podcast platform. Also, if you liked our show, give us a like or a thumbs up. But before I let you go, Janice, a trademark of our show is to ask our guests a few thought-provoking questions to expand our knowledge and keep us thinking. So the first one is, what's a book or resource that you go to in your area of expertise?
One of the books that I really like is Advances in Pig Welfare, partly because it gets updated pretty regularly and it saves me a lot of time, maybe plowing through all the primary scientific literature, and covers a lot of different aspects of what goes into kind of giving a pig a whole good quality of life. So it always gives me maybe more on the health side than I would otherwise dig into myself. The people that kind of use that book or that contribute to that book are really very, I find, very thoughtful group of authors. So I like keeping up with that resource.
Okay. Advances in Pig Welfare. Very good. Mm-hmm. So what about a book or resource not related to the swine industry or maybe welfare that you recommend others check out?
So this one is definitely not really related to pigs specifically. It's called The Book of Ichigo Ichie, and it's all about the Japanese art of making every moment count. And it's kind of based on this idea that every time two people meet, even if they're friends or parent and child or spouses, every interaction is different and unique, and it's a moment that's never going to be repeated in time. And there's usually something beautiful in each of those kinds of moments. And so for me, it's another way of bringing myself like small amounts of joy throughout the day as I think about particular things that I'm either experiencing or maybe tasting at lunch or whatever. So, you know, if I'm not due for a vacation for a while, this is a good way for me to kind of get through the everyday with moments of joy.
Ah, very good. That's a really unique one, and I like it. So the last one, Janice, is share with us an attribute or characteristic that you feel sets successful professionals apart from others.
So I'm thinking about this from the perspective of me in academia as a researcher. And one of the things I think that is really important for folks in my role doing research within the swine industry, especially on the area of welfare, which can be sometimes seen as counter to the producer, although we're trying to lift the pig and the producer at the same time, is to really listen to their concerns and what their needs are. Because sometimes I may go in with a misconception. And when I talk to them more, I see that there's maybe something else that's really important to them that I could kind of shift and focus on, or that they have a concern about what I'm doing because they see it maybe going in a direction I didn't intend. So I really like to make sure that I'm not just thinking as a scientist all the time, but thinking about where it's going to go and really listening to them and all of the wealth of experience they have out there in that real world with the pigs in the barn, and making sure I try and stay connected to that.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. And I think it's important, you know, for both sides, right, to listen and maybe try to get perspective of where each other are coming from. And typically there's always common ground.
Yeah. And I think for me too, it reminds me when I listen to them that even though we're coming at this from different perspectives, at the end of the day, we're trying to do good things, right? And we just might have different priorities that we start from. But, you know, everybody's kind of working toward this same idea of a healthy swine industry. We're just going about it from different perspectives.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being on my show. I've learned a great deal, excited to meet new people in areas that I'm not usually involved in. So thanks so much for the conversation.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.